read this scripture, and then we'll let you sit down. Psalms 46 and 10. How many people think it's warm in here? How many people love this temperature in here right now? Y'all should see the age bracket. Be still. Psalms 46 and 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. One more time. Be still and know that I am God. You can be seated. We talk about this quite often, and I can't get into this sermon without talking about it again. We live in a world of distractions. We live in a world where it is hard to concentrate. We live in a world of a lot of notifications, a lot of messages, a lot of voices, a lot of things that enter into our mind on a daily and weekly basis. The truth is, our children are becoming roadkill on a superhighway, and that's of information. Can you say amen? There's a lot of information that comes at us, and Harriet makes me nervous that we live in a generation where our brains are overloaded. Amen. Do you know anybody whose brain is overloaded? If you don't know them, it may be you. You may be the one. Information coming to us at a very rapid pace. And if we're not careful, we bring in so much so quickly that we physically don't have time to process everything that comes in. Psychologists and psychiatric people have done studies on the brain and the overload and what it does to us. So on a biology level, it's dangerous to try to do that. Your brain is constantly trying to keep up. Doom scrolling, we all know about that. And this stuff comes in, and let me just say this. God never designed us to bring in that kind of information, because you're not designed to process it that quickly. And your brain is constantly scanning, and as every scroll, every bit of information, your brain is trying to internalize. In a world like that, I read you a scripture that says, "Be still and know that I am God." Did God know that when we got to this place that it would be that hectic and that chaotic? To tell us to know him, to know that he is God, we must first be still. Notice he didn't say, "Know that I am God and you will be still." He said, "Be still and know that I am God." Everybody, for just one second, be still. I see movement. How y'all doing? Everybody good? At that moment when you stop, how many people's brains kept working? How many people kept thinking? How many people were thinking while you were saying, "Come on, tell the truth." There's a lot going on. There's a lot constantly moving. And it's very difficult to get away from things. How many people, let me ask you this, have you ever went on vacation to get away, and when you got there, it was worse than before you left? Please raise your hand. Amen. You ever tried to get away from people and they find you? You try to get to a place where you just want to get away, and maybe it's your spouse, and you go in the kitchen and here they come, and you're like, get away. You want to get to a place where it's quiet for just a minute. But being still becomes very difficult when you yourself are the problem. I know people. I have a really close friend of mine. His name starts with the letter Darren. And the guy cannot go to sleep. If you ask him why, he'll tell you, because it's constant. It's that motor constantly running. I don't have that. I must have a slow motor, because I have no problem falling asleep. And I quote the scripture to him sometimes, "God gives rest to the righteous." So there's this thing sometimes where you just can't turn it off. And it's nice. I do not know if I'm allowed to say this, but our elder's not here to correct me, so I'm going to tell y'all something. It was Taylor. Where's Taylor at? She's out. It was Taylor. Have you ever heard anybody, and I looked this up, and it's clean. You ever heard somebody say, shut your pie hole? How many people's ever heard that? It's talking about your mouth, because that's where evidently you eat pie, because in Britain, it's shut your cake hole. Because I guess they eat more cake and we eat more pie. I don't know, but that's the equivalent. And somehow, and I don't know how it got started, but she got upset at Allison. And she looked at her and said, shut your pine hole lip. So that's a saying in our family now. When we want somebody to shut up, I don't know where she got pine. And I don't know why she added lip. But when she said it, it has stuck. They were little. And if I could title this sermon, I would title it, Shut Your Pine Hole Lip. Be still. Be still and know that I am God. Jason, God's trying to reveal to us something here that we don't have to think everything through. We don't have to be the mechanic that fixes all the problems. As a matter of fact, he is the one who fixes the problems anyway. He wants us to get to a place of rest, and somehow you got to work to get to rest. And when we get in that place of rest, God can move in and do what God does. Some people don't like this song, but I prayed a lot. Do what you're famous for, God. I know that you're able to do this, and I am not. So I'm just going to step back and let you be God. The problem with that is most of the time when I make up my mind, I'm going to put my trust in him, something happens and a word of doubt moves in. Can I get an amen? Come here, Johnny. Turn around. I'm gonna talk to you. There are commands that God has given us. There are things, and I don't know if you've noticed, this is not a suggestion. This says, be still and know that I am God. Be still is a command. So when I'm trying to talk to Johnny and I'm trying to give him commands, the problem is as soon as he makes up his mind that he's going to follow me, something else comes along. And when that something else comes along, we get conflicted. And because we get conflicted, he is always whispering to him. How many people ever have this to happen? Let me ask you this. How many people carry on an internal dialogue with yourself? Raise your hand. Some of y'all don't, and I'm worried about you. I have pep rallies with myself. When I'm going to work, I try to tell myself I'm going to act this way today. When I'm on my way in, I'm like I'm not going to. This is my favorite thing. I tell myself I'm not going to complain today. I have these conversations, but in the background there's a voice, and that voice, no matter, and you got to be careful, because when God's trying to speak, There's this going on in our life, and he's saying, be still. Now, it's something to tell. I heard a guy say this one time. He was so mad at this other guy, and it's a country saying. Yeah, I've never heard it before or never heard it since. But the guy was talking, and he said, if you don't shut up, I'm going to mash your mouth. That was the words that he used. I'm going to mash your mouth. And it's something to try to mash somebody else's mouth. It's different when this dialogue is you. The difference is when it's your thoughts that won't turn off, when it's your thoughts that keep talking, and he's saying, you've got to be still. I got a word for you today. Now, if you're not like this and you don't have any problems and everything's going good, but if you got a little bit of doubt about a situation, I want to talk to you today. If you got some issues that they haven't worked out the way you want them to work out, and there's a voice telling you that you might as well give up, there's no reason to hang on, there's no purpose. I know these conversations go on because I've seen people, Rhonda, go through trials and they walk out of the church and they walk away from the very answer that was designed to help them. They turn and walk away because they don't listen to the right voice, but there's another voice that keeps talking and they yield to it. And there comes a point when you got to say stop. Doubt doesn't mean you're not a believer. I've heard people tell me doubt was a sin. Doubt is the sin of unbelief. But just because there is a voice of doubt that speaks to you does not make you an unbeliever. What it makes you is a target of the enemy, because the enemy knows if you walk by faith, something is going to come of that. And it's very important to make sure you're not yielding yourself to the voice of doubt or the voice of fear or the voice of vision. When you look at it and you see it working one way and you're praying for God to do it the other way and you know what the will of God is and doubt moves in, there comes a way that you've got to stop this voice. This is so interesting. Mark chapter 4, verse 39. We know the story. We've heard it. We've thought about it. We've heard it preached several different ways. Don't let Jesus go to sleep on the boat. Have you heard that? Don't let Jesus sleep on your boat. Make sure that he is coherent and awake on your trip. Make sure you don't let Jesus doze off on your boat. I've heard it preached so many ways. But when you read this, the Bible says, and he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. Listen to this. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. How cool would this power be? I'd like to have it. The problem is all the trees would die. Because I don't know if you know this or not. What makes the roots of the tree grow deeper is the wind moving them around. And every time the wind moved, I can imagine some of you ladies, your hair's, peace, be still. I don't have that problem. Every time you're on your way, peace, be still. It's good, it's good. Sometimes he calms the storm. Other times he would let the storm go and he would calm the child. Sometimes the storm ends. Sometimes the storm keeps raging, but the calm is in here. Oh, come on, people. Are you hearing me? I've been in storms before, and I've seen people pulling off the side of the road and getting under bridges, and I was perfectly okay. I want to get home. I'm sure I was called names. What's wrong with this guy? Look at this idiot. There was hail hitting my windshield. I thought it was going to bust. I'm getting home, baby. I'm getting home. Sometimes the storm ends, but sometimes there's a peace in you where the storm is still raging, but you know in the end everything is going to work out for the good. That's the God we serve. But this word, be still, this word, be still. Give me my definition. I want y'all to see this. Peace be still. You don't have it. My tech team has let me down today. I'll read it to you. Peace be still sounds like, there's polite ways to tell people to shut up. And I get in trouble for saying shut up. I got a granddaughter that when I say shut up, she goes, ah. Pop, don't say that. There's nice ways to say it. Shh. Hush. I see some of you parents. I sit in the back sometimes and I watch y'all. Your kids start making noises and y'all start out. I would love to know the percentage of how many times that actually works. Maybe we need to start videoing so we can watch it. Shh, baby, hush, hush. I've seen it escalate. I've seen it go to, shh, baby, to, I'm going to take you outside. You don't think I've seen you? Why are you laughing, Sierra? I saw you the other night. I saw you. She's over there going, yeah, yeah, I saw her. You, sometimes hush don't work with the enemy. Sometimes pipe down don't work. Sometimes shut your pine hole lip will get his attention. But that's got to be something that rises up in you where you get sick of hearing what he's trying to put out, or you get sick of your own flesh trying to put it out, and you start saying things like, peace, be still. No, I mean be still. I mean be still. This word, still, comes from the Greek word that means to muzzle. How many people own a muzzle? How many people would like to have a muzzle? How many people live with somebody that would like to have a muzzle that fit their face perfect? Man, I appreciate your honesty. It means to muzzle. The wind didn't have a choice when Jesus used this word, because Jesus had authority over the wind and the sea. It wasn't, hush, be quiet. No, it was, I'm shutting you up. That's what be still means. It means I'm not negotiating this. That means it's going to stop. It's going to end. This is it. Where's my stuff? What'd I do with that? I'll leave it back there. Grab me that. Alex, bring me that right there. Yeah. This stuff is awesome. Oh, did y'all catch that? My mustache. Maybe we should trade places. What do you think? He's good. There comes a point when you got to take authority over this, because God is calling you somewhere else. And as long as that's got your attention, you can't get where God has designed you to be. So listen, you can't wait on it to stop. You can't just hope that it goes away. Listen real close, and this may help you, Darren. You can't say, well, it's hereditary and I'm wired this way. And this, I'm going to tell you right now, sometimes you need to look at the enemy and look at your flesh and say, I've got a plan and you need to be still. Now, if I can get you still, I'm going to see something in another realm, because when I get undistracted by you, then I'll know the knowing comes after the stealing. The knowing, he said, be still and know that I'm God. Here's what's crazy. I don't know. No, I don't know, man. You might look really funny. Just put it on the bottom right there. It's good. Yeah, there we go. I want to warn you, though, you get proud over your hair. God's got ways of humbling you. Come on, bald man, can I get an amen? So there's this point where you get this silenced. And when you get this silenced, you can hear from God. I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about being effective in the kingdom of God. The enemy knows who you are. And he's going to do everything he can to stop you from doing what God's called you to do. So this is what he does. Amen? Is anybody with me? Am I preaching to anybody? That when you're just driving down the road, you start hearing, I don't know, maybe I'm weird, but I've had crazy thoughts driving down the road. You remember? When you came up to me that time, I told her, I said, there's been times I dealt with Public. I sold them tile, and they're standing there, and they're just, and I'm being nice, you know, I'm acting like, and the whole time I'm thinking, I wonder what they'd do if I just smacked them. Y'all don't have those thoughts? I wonder what this person would do if I just swerved at them. Am I the only, is there anybody else? Raise your hand if you've ever, okay, all right. Now look around at all the crazies. Don't drive beside of them. There's these thoughts that go through the whole time God is trying to speak to us. I know you deal with this, and let me tell you how I know why. Because you'll be on social media, and all of a sudden you pop up and you say, hey, I'm taking a break. Have you ever seen anybody do that? Hey, I'm taking a break. I don't know if they're really taking a break or they want everybody to go, oh, no, please don't go. I don't know if they need pity. I don't know if they're going to take a break. I'm gonna delete this for a little while. You know what? What they're trying to do is stop all the voices. You know what is crazy? Is if we got this stopped, now you can hear from God. You know how many times a day we rip this off ourselves? You know how many times we open it up to ourselves? You know how many times you start doing that again and the enemy has an avenue to speak to you again? Amen. Vincent Van Gogh said, if you hear a voice in your head saying you can't paint, by all means, paint, and that voice will be silenced. That's really good advice, but Vincent Van Gogh was a schizophrenic, so I don't want to take his advice, but the Bible says, let the lying lips be put to silence. Let the lying lips be silenced, because this guy don't know anything else but lies. Fear's a liar, doubt's a liar, all that stuff is lies, and its purpose is to stop you from getting to the truth. Because listen real close, when you know the truth, it's the truth that makes you free. The lie will keep you in bondage, but the truth will liberate. Can I be pastoral for a minute? And we got this all mixed up in the generation that we live. Be kind and love and all of this ooey gooey stuff. And that's great. But love doesn't liberate people. Ooey gooey kindness doesn't liberate people. You know what liberates people? It's truth. I would rather someone grouchy tell me the truth than somebody nice tell me a lie. How many people here like liars? Even if they're nice. Some of them are funny. I met some liars that are hilarious. You know what I'm talking about? They tell stories and you know they're lying the whole time, but they're funny stories. But are you going to bank anything on that person? You're going to know the truth, and the truth will. I've heard set and make. What is it? It's make. It's make you free, not set you free. And there's a difference between being set free and being made free. You want to know what the difference is? The difference is if he's in a cage and I open the gate or the little door, I have set him free. But he could still be in the cage. Now, the truth, when it enters in, let me tell you what it does. You don't even have to open the gate. When the truth comes in, the truth will push open the gate, and it can't hold you because the truth will make you free. There is a difference. Art, there's something about the Word of God. When it gets in you, it begins to accomplish some things. You're doing good. You're doing good. You're doing good. You're doing good. And then you know what happens? People regress. They tell you, there you go. And then at this point, you know what they do? They call the pastor and they say, I don't know what's wrong. There's some things going on in my life. I know what the problem is. You're back listening to that. Can I use my illustration and I'll let you go? What was the Super Bowl ad this year for 30 seconds? $2 million? Is that what it was? Somewhere around in the neighborhood? $2 million for 30 seconds? Why do you think they buy that? Why do you think $2 million for 30 seconds they deem that worthy? Why? What is it? Yeah, there's a lot of people seeing it. And you know what they think it's going to do? It's going to influence you to go buy something. 30 seconds. 30 seconds is not a long time. But they know that if they can get their voice in your head for 30 seconds, you growing up through Walmart to get you some Fix-A-Flat, and all of a sudden you're like, I want some barbecue Doritos. You don't think it works? Go in there and try to buy one thing. If 30 seconds does it, what does a two-hour movie do? Oh, preacher, get out of my living room. No, I'm trying to help our thinking. And I don't want to get too conspiracy on you, but there's a reason they call it TV programming. Think about that for a minute. Call me. My grandpa used to say, I'm going to go watch my program. My program? It gets into your thinking, and the whole time he's supposed to be quiet. We're listening to all this stuff. God is over here saying, get rid of it, and you're going to see that I'm God. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. Not what the world says to the church, not their ideas, not all of that stuff. But when we listen to God, we're going to see that he is God. We live in an age right now, this world needs to know that God is still God. There's a lot of doubters. There's a lot of agnostics. There's a lot of atheists. But the truth is, there's a God that's waiting on the church to hear from him, operate in their calling, and show the world that the same God that split the Red Sea is still alive. Sometimes you need to tell yourself to take a back seat. You know what the truth is? Sometimes you're logical. Sometimes my doubt makes sense. Amen. Sometimes I can make it make sense. If God ain't working like I want him to work, I'm like, well, I'm telling you right now, I'm not going to let that affect my joy. When I know the will of God, I know that God should be moving. And then I get this little scapegoat thing. You know what that is? That's that voice. That's me saying, hey, man. Hey, man. You know what I heard the other day from me? Man, you've worked too hard your whole life to let this bother you. Take it easy. Wait a minute. I'm not the one that can fix this anyway. So, hey, me, shut your pout hole lip. Not, shh, honey, shh. Shh. How'd it go, Sierra? I'm going to go. You tell when they get mad, they grit their teeth. Because they don't want people around to know what they're saying. Just wait till I get you home. Y'all are laughing because every one of you is guilty. We need to get that way about the enemy. We need to get that way about him. When he starts talking, we need to just, hey, he'll be all right. Hey, it's okay. If you're in church and we see you over there, we're going to say, amen, get him, get him. Get rid of that stuff. Get rid of that voice, because God wants to do something through us. God wants to do something through you. Now, we can submit to that and see what happens, or we can keep listening to that and wonder what would have happened if we shut that off and listened to him, because he's designed us to hear his voice. He gave us his spirit. Sam, let's get activated in that and start marching as God has ordained us to march. Come on, musicians. While they're coming, Jesus approached a man with a spirit. And Jesus looked at him and said, "Hold thy peace." Same word. You know what that is? That's not, shh, hold it down a little bit. It's a muzzle. I think muzzles are cruel. You ever seen a dog with a muzzle that didn't want to have the muzzle on? It's hard to watch. But you know what? It works. So he puts a muzzle on the spirit, and he says, shut up. Hold your peace. You have that same authority. They say that if you have a spirit that you're dealing with, that's one of the things you say. Hold your peace. Hold your peace. Why? Because the devil's a liar. Lies don't liberate, truth does. Shut it off. Shut it off. When doubt moves in, recognize that it is there and speak to the doubt. And say, be still. In the name of Jesus, be still. And we're going to see God do some things. We're fighting an uphill battle. Years ago, they would show how phone addiction was messing up kids. And it would show like a grandparent taking their kid to a restaurant. And the grandparent's sitting there with their hands like this. And the kid's over there with headphones in, going through a phone. It's like, one day, this kid's going to regret this. Well, things have changed, people. Because I go to restaurants and look around, and grandma and grandpa are sitting across the table from each other. And they're not even talking. And me and Tracy talk about them for not talking to each other. Look over there. That's horrible. That is. That's awful. Let's not ever get like that. Let's not ever get that way. What about God when he's trying to speak to you and we're listening to all this stuff? Today, this week, I want you to make a decision. I want you to make a decision. I'm going to get rid of some voices. And I'm going to set aside some time where I can hear from God. How many people did that this week? There's your challenge. How many people? Look around. Look around. I'm not telling you to. I'm telling you to make some changes. Because God wants to speak to you. You ever tried to talk to somebody that's distracted? You know what you say? Never mind. Never mind. Just never mind. God wants your undivided attention. Will you give it to him? And what a profound sermon. Give God some time. Turn some things off. Get rid of some things so that we can hear from him. Let's stand. Let's stand. If you're here today and you have never surrendered to him or need to surrender more, we want to give you some time to pray. If you hear his voice calling you for any reason, would you step out and say, that's me, that's me, that's me. We've made a commitment. Some of us had our hands up to say, I made a commitment. Let's start right now. Would you pray, even though you're surrounded by people, would you talk to him, just him at this moment? Don't worry about who's in front of you, who's behind you. Would you talk to him right now? Would you say, God, I want to begin my open dialogue with you right now in this service? Go ahead, Josh. As they sing, would you just talk to him? Would you just talk to him?